stampede. Amen. It's good to be saved.
That was pretty weak, actually.
It is good to be saved. Amen. That was excellent Sunday school. I'm glad I got in on it. Amen. My wife's really glad because usually she just hears me all the time. She gets an opportunity to hear somebody else. And me too. We like it. We approve of Bible, amen. Sunday school, teaching, preaching. A curious comment my wife made when Brother Brian was talking about Brother Lindahl and didn't know what his sins were, and he ain't gonna tell you. But my wife said to me, she said, I wonder if you get old enough where you don't sin. And that'd be the answer. But my comment to her was, I hope so. Amen. Wouldn't that be nice? There's a day coming, though.
Amen.
Take your Bible this morning. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. One time I told a church to go to Galatians. And like up north, you may not know anything about this, but up north in the winter, there's rubber boots that you pull on. They're called galoshes. Amen. So somebody said, wait a minute, that's not a book of the Bible. I know. Colossians chapter 3. All right. Did I turn this on, Brother Lucas? Can you hear me? Yes? Okay, good. All right. Verse number 12. Let's go to verse number 12. Let's start right there. And the Bible says this, verse 12 says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's quite a list. Amen. And it says, put on therefore, and it says some things about the saved person. That's what I ask. It's good to be saved. And you're referred to here as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Well, that's high ground right there. Nobody ever said nothing like that about me before I met Jesus Christ. I think about some of the comments, the kind comments that have been made over the last couple of days. And I just thought to myself, Lord, you know nobody thought that way. Nobody would ever said nothing like that about me. And it's all the grace of God. We're giving him all the credit, amen. All the glory, amen. For anything that goes right. Amen.
Amen.
But it says there, put on therefore. A rule of thumb I learned in Bible school while I was on federal probation was when you see the word therefore, look to see what it's there for.
Amen.
It's not a new concept. Going back to verse 1, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, Paul wrote this epistle with the intention of it being read aloud in a church to a group primarily consisting of believers. That's logical. Amen. But he didn't assume that everybody that was going to hear it read was a Christian, was a believer. So he begins what we have broken down as chapter 3, beginning with these words, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He didn't assume everybody in the midst of this reading was saved. And nor do we assume that everybody that makes it into the church house, whether it's Sunday morning or Friday night, is saved. People come, people get invited, people are searching. Amen. And it's no wonder, because this world, if you're honest, doesn't have the answers. Amen. They have a lot of distractions. They have a lot of rabbit trails that people get caught on. But there's a need that every human has that this world can't supply. And people, sometimes after trying everything else, finally turn to God.
Amen.
And they make it into our midst. But they're not saved. And if that's you this morning, again, like Ben said, we're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. It's important to be friendly to visitors. I concur with everything Brother Brian said. But if you're in our midst today and you've never been born again, if you, like Paul says, have never been risen with Christ, the invitation is for you to find out how to be, how to get your sins forgiven. And I can't imagine a better place where you can get the most important issues, questions of life answered than right here.
Amen.
But if you are, And many of you are. Some of you I've known for 10 years. Amen. And so then he said there in verse 12, put on their fort. So if you're risen with Christ, if you're making an effort and an attempt in your walk with Jesus Christ, amen, to seek those things which are above, he tells us these things in verse 12, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This chapter is full of practical advice. Amen. And if you're saved, you're to put those things on. But let me just say, they're like your clothes. You don't get up in the morning and open your closet and stand in front of your clothes rack and you know, I mean, you're not like Iron Man, you know. They ain't going to jump on. I heard about that somewhere. And amen. You got to put them on. You follow me? Amen. And that's like these things that the new Christian has to do. There's some effort required.
Amen.
On our part. So he says, put on therefore. And then it says a verse. Well, I'll read the verses categorically. Verse 13, forgiving one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's good advice right there. Because we've been forgiven much.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be forgiving. It says, verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That right there is the second best Bible advice I ever got as young Christians. All decisions that face us, even as children of God, are not as simple as good versus evil. Even right and wrong. There are decisions, they are no-brainers. They should be no-brainers. But every decision that we're faced with isn't that simple. I have seen on more than one occasion two or more options that all reasonably could be good ideas. But the reality is, one is always going to be the best idea. One is always going to be the one that God has got intended for you to be in his perfect will. And he gives you the secret for figuring it out. And when he says, and let the peace of God rule.
Amen.
My preacher used to say, don't make a move until you have the peace of God. Amen. And I'm talking about in serious matters for sure. But it's imperative for us to access the grace of God, the leading of God, the direction of God that he wants to give us. And he puts it in those words, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And rule is not the same as reside. Because if the peace of God rules in your heart, there's not room for bitterness.
Amen.
If the peace of God rules in your heart, there's no room for unforgiveness. Because you're mindful that Christ forgave you. If the peace of God rules in your heart, there's no room for pride and envy. Because it's all about him. And only Jesus Christ deserves the preeminence that your flesh wants.
Yeah.
Amen. So the peace of God is very important. And it says, and then it goes on and says, in verse 15, to the which also ye are called in one body. And as an evangelist, 25 years now, 26 actually, in March, and traveling in all 50 states. And, but let me just tell you something in case you didn't know. People are different. People, I'm talking about the body of Christ, from Maine to Miami to San Diego to Seattle and every state in between. It is our privilege to go to little churches like this all over the country, outposts of people that have purposed in their heart to take a stand for Jesus Christ, that got in on the grace and mercy and take it seriously enough to do what we're doing right now, this day and this week, assemble ourselves.
Amen.
So that we might draw nigh to him, so that we might be vessels meet for the master's use.
Amen.
Like Brother Brian said, this is not a club, this is not a social gathering. I belong to that kind of thing. before I got saved. I got no time for it, no use. The church of the living God is the ground and pillar of the truth, and this is the most exciting ride I've ever been on in my life. It said, to the which also you're called in one body. Although Christians, different parts of the country, indeed different parts of the world are different, what we've got, the commonality that we have because of the blood of Jesus Christ, like I mentioned the other night, makes us brothers and sisters. And with all the division that we see in this world, and it's not new, I marvel at the brotherhood of believers.
Amen.
And I love it. Amen. It's the neatest thing I've ever seen. I know people in the same families can't get along. And here we are, right? Amen. Somebody amen that or else.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, I was getting nervous. Okay, no, I wasn't. Now, let the peace of God rule in your heart is the second best Bible advice I ever got, but the best Bible advice I ever got is also in this verse, and the verse finishes with these words, and be ye thankful.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful that we can do that. Thankful for access to the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And both are often. And I'm glad, Lord God, that I'm thankful, Lord God, to be born again, saved, and a part of your family. I'm thankful today to be in a place with like-minded believers, in a place where you'll be lifted up, not us, not our ideology, not our opinion, Lord. We're interested in your opinion, and help God prepare our hearts for the preaching and ministering of your Spirit this day and this week. God, please, if there's a person in here that's not saved, pray you'd make it easy for them to see they need to get saved. We'll sure thank you for that. Lord God, for those that are assembled here, there are needs, many, and they put them on the hold to come to church, but God, we will thank you if you will give them something during the course of these meetings that would help them handle the cares of life. Lord, I'm just thankful to be here, and I pray that you'd be pleased, you'd be thankful that we're here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Thankfulness is the very essence of Bible Christianity. Now, there's three categories. There's religion, and I didn't get any of that 32 years ago. Don't have any now. Don't have any interest in it. Amen. Then there's Christianity in the general term. And like I say, if you talk to people much, a lot of people will claim to be Christian, but they're not Bible Christians. In other words, the Bible doesn't impact their thinking and their life. Maybe salvation, maybe the Spirit of God that moved into them, whether they realize it or not, helps them live a better life in some way and will indeed get them into heaven. On that judgment seat of Christ, the worst case scenario at the judgment seat of Christ for the most carnal Christian that, I mean, goes into the millennium with third degree burns on his face because everything he did in this life as a child of God burned up and there will be no rewards. Still, the worst case scenario at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be better than the best case scenario at the great white throne. Amen. But, amen. But it says, be ye thankful. And, but if we get a hold of that, it's going to make anything the Lord asks of us, bears witness, a lot easier. Because he deserves it. Because Romans 12 says it's reasonable. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about thankfulness this morning. It's easy to find things to complain about. Amen. But truth be known, every one of us in here this morning has a lot to be thankful for. If you're saved, you really, really do. And if you're in here and you're not,
amen.
Maybe you're in here and you've never said, wow, I never looked at it that way. I'm not familiar with the term born again. I'm a good person. I certainly don't want to go to hell. I hope I go to heaven. If you're in here, amen, this is a great day. You got a lot to be thankful to. 4 too, because today you'll find out from the scripture that you can get that thing, you can get that thing over the finish line. You can get that thing, straightened out, sealed, and leave with the confidence that you don't have to worry about, wonder about, hope where you're going. Amen. Amen. So it's a big deal, and we have a lot to be thankful for, and since we do, and I used the verse last night, but it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Amen. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Amen. Thanks to his name. So, thankfulness. Amen. That's easy. That's a common theme. I was praying a while back and going through the things that I'm praying for, the people that I'm praying for. I found out a while ago that according to James 5:16, the more time you spend praying for other people, the less prayer you need for yourself. You can look that verse up sometime. Look at that. You'll get it. Amen. So I was praying, and I've been praying for people, and boy, it got good. And I just continued in prayer, and that's where this message kind of came from. I started just thanking God. And the first thing I thought of, and take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In verse number 8, and it's a familiar passage, I'm confident, but it says this, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He didn't die for us because we cleaned up our act. Amen. He died for us while we, it said, in the while we were yet sinners. That word committed means offered or made available. Amen. And I was praying, and I just, it got good. My communion with the Lord was good that particular morning, and I just started thanking God for committing his love toward me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Amen. And he didn't do that because I promised to clean up my act or because I promised to quit doing stuff, and man, I had a laundry list of things that needed to be stopped doing. I didn't need some theologian to tell me that I was involved in a lot of things, from actions to language to everything, that needed to stop. Amen. I knew. And I didn't promise to start doing stuff. God, if you'll save me, I'll... No, he didn't commend his love toward me because of what I promised or a deal I made. Amen. The Bible says he commended his love toward us. Hey, to me, while I was in the depths of my sin. And I don't get that. I can't even comprehend that. But I'm glad it's true because I got a Bible verse on it. It ain't based on feeling. I tell that, say that. Truth of the matter is, it's the same way with everybody in here. God committed, if you're saved in here, God committed his love toward you. And that while you are yet a sinner, amen, Christ died for you. And if you're in here this morning, you're not saved. Listen, I got news for you. It's good news. Jesus Christ died for you. Amen. Amen. Not to excuse your sin, but to make a way to forgive your sin. Amen. And I hope you get in it. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to make the call, friend. Amen. He did his part. He always does his part. Amen. Amen. So I got thinking about that, and God committed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, you realize that God knows every detail of your life. Right. Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't bother you. That freaks me out sometimes. Amen. Amen. And every detail, everything you ever did, I mean, I agree, man. Get saved young. Keep the list short, man. And you'll still struggle. But I was almost 38, and the fact that God knows everything I ever did, every detail, and still commended his love toward me. Amen. Amen. Boy, how can you resist that?
Amen.
Amen. I couldn't. I'm glad I didn't. Amen. But not only does God know every detail of your life before he saved you and committed his love toward you and that Christ died for us, not only did he do that and save you, he knew how sorry you were going to be sometimes after he saved you.
Amen.
And that, listen, what I did before I got saved, I thank God that I'm saved. But now, I literally am disgusted with some of the things that come into my mind or even ideas that I've had since I've been a child of God. And the devil will be right there saying, there ain't no way you're saved. Look, a saved person would never do that. I figured out that if you weren't saved, the devil ain't going to bother you at all. He wants you to stay right where you are. Amen. But God knows that he knew, I mean, I've been at this thing long enough. I've seen churches split six ways this Sunday over things that nobody got any glory out of but the devil. He knew that. Have you ever done a favor for somebody and then later regretted it because they didn't appreciate it or took it for granted? I wouldn't have to show of hands. I'll just raise mine because I have. I have. I've done favors for people with no ulterior motive. I mean, since I've been saved, with no ulterior motive because it was the right thing to do. And then they didn't appreciate it. They took it for granted. And boy, that's thinking little flesh rises up. And I'm thinking, I'll never do that again. I wouldn't have done that. I know I'm the only one like that in here. True confession from Brother Spurgeon today, but I'm going to tell you something. God has never had a day like that. God never saved anybody and then woke up the next day after they did something on Friday night and said, I can't believe it. I wish I would have never saved them. God knew every detail of our lives, and the Bible said he committed his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Amen. That going to keep it fresh for you. Amen. I mean, sometimes we get that attitude like that Pharisee in Luke 18. Thank God I'm not as other men are. Outside of the grace of God, you're capable.
Amen.
Amen. So I just was praying and I was thinking about that. And God knew what he was getting. A bunch of sinners. Amen. Yeah. And it says this in Psalm 103. It says, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You know what the problem is? You get saved and clean up your act, clean up some of your habits, get some victories, and you forget that you're dust. And we start thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, and there we go with the great need of staying humble and judging ourselves. And Paul mentioned it over and over. Amen. That's why I appreciated that Sunday school. It said in Colossians chapter 3, it said there in our text, it said, be ye thankful.
Amen.
And the first thought is came to my mind that morning after I prayed for everybody that I was praying for, including this church and the gospel that goes forth out of this church. Boy, I started thanking God for committing his love toward me. And that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Amen. And I was having such a good time that morning. It just rolled into this. Take your Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me in verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. And the Bible says this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And I started thanking God that he's rich in mercy.
Amen.
God's rich. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He's rich. How rich is he? I know somebody probably said that, so I'm going to answer. Psalm 50, verse 10, the Bible says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Amen. And you probably heard it said through the years, God is so rich, he doesn't just own the cattle. And being in Texas, I just came over from Louisiana, and I still saw a lot of cattle. There's a beef. It is what's for dinner. Amen. Did you get that, Brother Lucas? I want you to know that. Amen. And there's a lot of cattle, and there's cattle on 1,000 hills, and you've heard it said he even owns the hills. Amen. And it's true. It says in Psalm 95, verse 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills. It's his also. So sometimes preachers fire things out like that and you get it, but it's Bible.
Yes.
God's rich. He owns the cattle. He owns the hills. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 10:26 says this, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God's rich, but that isn't all he's rich in. I'm thankful, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 4, that he's rich in mercy. It's occurred to me more than a few times through the years that of all the things God's rich in, it is rich in, and that was just a sampling. I'm glad he was rich in mercy because that's what he needed to be rich in to save somebody like me.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, if you went there, look at verse 1. And the chapter begins with these words. It says, "And you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins." And that certainly applies to the worst of us. Amen. Amen. Some of us, we see that dead in trespass and sin. We hang our head. We shake our head. We go, "Yeah, that was me. That was me." And it certainly does apply. Verse 2 said this, "Where in time past he walked according to the course of this world." That was me. "According to the prince of the power of the air." That was me. "The spirit did not work in the children of disobedience." That was me. And I ain't the only one. But I got news for you. That applies, dead and trespassing and sin applies to everybody in here. Because verse 3 said this, "Among whom also we all," again, this is written to a church of believers. This is an epistle to be read to believers. And it says, "Whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So here's what that means. Prior to being born again, everybody was dead in trespasses and sin. And I'm obligated to say this. If you're in our midst this morning, again, we're glad you're here. But if you've never been born again, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for your sins, if you've never done that, you might be the nicest person in San Antonio. But if you've never been saved, scripturally born again, as of this moment right here, you are dead in trespasses and sin. And I don't say that to get ugly with you. I say that to say this. Oh my, there is a remedy for that. Amen.
Amen.
And you can get in on the remedy. We got a house full of medical technicians, medics, doctors, nurses that can just open a Bible and show you how simple it is. If you're in church this morning, you're probably honest enough to admit there is a God. Oh my, there is a God.
Amen.
Amen. But to meet him, to move him from here to here, no, that's what needs to be done. That's what can be done. That's what many of us have done. Amen. Dad, I'm so glad God was, I'm glad he committed his love toward me. And when I was a sinner, Christ committed his love to, I'm glad he did that. I'm glad that God's rich in mercy. Back to Romans 5. Something else I was thinking about that morning. I was praying. It said there in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It said, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more Amen. Abound. The first time I read that, I was out of jail. I was on a pre-sentence investigation. And I'm reading my Bible. And I got somebody directing me to some New Testament places so I didn't get, you know, all twisted around in Ezekiel. Amen. Which I love, but I sure wouldn't have known what it... I'm still confused about it. I need to talk to you about some... Amen. But it said, "Moreover, the law entered." And I started having flashbacks. And I remember the day they entered. And buddy, I was asleep, 4 days of binge, I was sleeping off, and the door came off the hinges, and my house filled up with law enforcement officers, and I'll tell you what, the law entered, and before the day was over, the offense abounded. I was taken down the federal courthouse in shackles, and I was charged with more things than I even want to go into right now. Amen. And that federal magistrate gavel came down and said, "No bond to this guy. He's a menace to society," which I took as a compliment then, but they didn't give me that. He said he is a member of an international criminal organization with the ability to avoid prosecution. And I'm thinking, you better believe it. I got a lawyer on call. I got a bondman on call. I got unlimited resources. You let me out of here, I'm bond. I'll be on America's Most Wanted for as long as possible. And we had already figured out that the United States has no extradition treaty with Costa Rica, and I could have been in Galveston in 30 hours and been in Costa Rica. We had it all figured out. I had a plan. God had a different plan.
Amen.
No bond. Amen. That's what it took for me to get to the point where I could hear the gospel. And when I did, I found out, and I couldn't verbalize it at the time, but I found out God had more grace than I had sinned. The Bible had said where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I still marvel at that. Now, I ran into a few people in the course of ministering. I was in the jail ministry for 6 or 7 years before God called me into evangelism. And I ran into some men that behind bars that have told me this right here. God can't forgive me. I've done things that God... I understand that. I get that mentality. I was preaching in a little town in northern Missouri. When we came into this county, it was Putnam County, Missouri, up on the Iowa line. It was like the population of the whole county was 5,400 and something like that. And I told my wife, I said, I've seen apartment buildings in Queens that have more people in it than this whole county. Amen. And I get to this little church and I'm preaching and I was told there's a guy named Charlie that had moved down from Chicago. And I worked out Chicago, very rural, Missouri. And that first thought that came to my mind, he's on witness protection program. He ain't fooling me. Amen. Charlie was a Vietnam vet. Charlie was a very nice guy, very generous guy, very kind man, and very faithful to church. But Charlie wasn't saved. Charlie was of the mind that he had done things in war that God could not forgive. And he wasn't adversarial. He wasn't, he just, that was his mind. And he was a nice guy. And he was just, you know, he knew he was going to end up in hell. He didn't doubt the Bible. And I was told that. And I'd run into that a little bit. And so I got up and I preached. Of course, I preached on hell. And Charlie came forward to the invitation. That's an old-fashioned thing people used to do after the preaching, that people would come forward and pray. It's old-fashioned. Amen. But Charlie came forward, and he got down there. And I've been told he would do that. He would come and pray. Amen. He was a praying man. And so I come down out of the altar. The pastor got up there, and I went down there, and I said, Charlie. And I had talked to him and met him in the days previous. We'd been there about the fifth day out of five. But I said, Charlie, is there anything I can pray with you about? And he said, well, he told me something. I said, Charlie, you need to get saved, Charlie. You want to get saved, Charlie? He said, Brother Dave, I wish I could, but I've done things... And I knew he thought that way. And I had my Bible and I opened it to that verse right there, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. I said, Charlie, that book says God's got more grace than all of us put together have ability to sin. And I went through some verses with him and Charlie got saved that morning. From that verse, I am so thankful that God had more grace than I had sin, aren't you? Now, while I was praying with Charlie, the preacher had prayed with a, I gotta be careful what I say, when I say elderly now, because I was about 50 when this, that was a while back. And, maybe 60, because who remembers that clearly anymore? But this lady, she had been 88 years old. And she got saved too. Amen. And he led her to the Lord while I'm talking with Charlie. So she gives a testimony, ladies first, right? And she said, when I was 13 years old, that would have been 75 years earlier. When I was 13 years old, a friend from school invited me to a revival meeting at this very church, and they brought in a hellfire damnation, preaching, a fire-breathing evangelist who gave an invitation for people to get saved. And I knew as a 13-year-old I needed to be saved. I'd never been in church before in my life. I knew I needed to get in on that, and I didn't. Apprehension, everybody, we understand that. And she's 13, and she didn't come back to church. By the time she was 15, I think she got married, and... people grew up faster back then. Yeah. Amen. And I got married, married a good man, an honest man, a great husband, a great father, not a godly man. And they lived their entire lives, and he had recently passed away. And a friend, she never went to church again. She had heard the gospel. She knew she was lost. She probably knew her husband went to hell. And a friend invited her to hear an evangelist, a sweet, sharing, kind, soft-spoken this time, though. Invited her to come to a revival, and she came. And she got saved. When she gave testimony, she said, I missed it the first time. I ain't missing it this time. Talk about a brand plucked from the burning. Hey, I am so glad. I was praying to God and I was thanking him for his goodness and his grace. And I thank him for that Christ died for us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen. Christ didn't forgive me because of what I could have been or turned to. He knew exactly what I was, and he knew that I was in serious need because I was without hope and without God. Amen. And I was on my way to a devil's hell. And again, if you're in here today and you're not saved, that describes you, and you can turn that around, and you need to turn that around, and you can turn that around because God is rich in mercy.
Amen.
He's rich. I'm rich. I am rich. Trillionaire doesn't even describe what's on the other side for me. Amen. Amen. I'm a child of the King.
Yes, right.
We're sinners. I agree. We're sinners. We need to be mindful that we're sinners. But we need to start acting like children of the King.
Amen.
A little more often than we do. Instead of, well, I'm just a sinner. I can't have victory. I can't. Yes, you can.
Yes.
And I can do all things through Christ,
Amen.
Which strengtheneth me. Amen. I am glad he's rich in mercy. I am glad he's got more grace. The Bible says, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I'm glad I got in on the gift of God. If you're saved in here, I'm sure you are too. And maybe you're wondering how to get in on it, and you can get in on it by faith. Last thing I want to take you to is John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I was praying, and this was in there. John chapter 14, when I say in there, I'm in that morning, I just start thinking about the Lord coming back. You ever think about that?
Amen.
That's a good thing to think about. You know, if you leave the news off and the phone off and think about the Lord might come back today. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so then John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place Amen. For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, because he told us. And the way. You know, he says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe it was last night. I said that I appreciate the Bible being clear, specific. I think when he added, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, he did it for knuckleheads like me, hard-headed people like me. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And mark this down, friend. You better mark this down this morning if you're not saved. No, your baptism isn't going to get you into heaven. Your church membership ain't going to get you into heaven. Your goodness. You know what we do? Instead of judging ourselves, we compare ourselves with others. And compared to so-and-so, I'm pretty good. Well, that may be true. But that's not the qualification for
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
You got to come by way of Jesus.
Amen.
And if you never had, I'm praying. I'm thankful that he's coming back. I'm thankful that he's prepared a place. I'm thankful that I know where I'm going. Amen. Are you thankful for that?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, being mindful of that, thinking about that, makes it easier to deal with the cares and the trials and the storms of life. Because this thing ain't going on forever. Maybe you're on a high note. Maybe you're not. That's life, isn't it?
Yes.
But man, I'll tell you what isn't life. Eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. That is not affected by the daily ebb and flow.
Right. Amen.
I'm thankful that he'll save whosoever shall call.
Amen.
And if you're in here again and you've never been forgiven. Maybe sometimes we assume people understand our terminology. Are you saved? Are you born again? And like I say, there's different definitions. and people. Religion has learned to use our definitions, our Bible language. But I'm going to tell you something. When I didn't know what any of those words meant, I understood forgiveness. I knew I was a sinner, and I asked God the best way I knew how in a jail cell for forgiveness, and I got it. And if you've never asked the Lord, got honest with God, sure enough, that if what that Bible says is true, you're on your way to hell, not because of you killed somebody, but because you've never trusted Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
That whosoever believeth in him, that's us, friend.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
Amen.
But have everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm glad I got in on that. Let's all stand. Whoever's coming, Brother Brian, I pray that you would seriously consider, Christian, to be thankful.
Amen.
Regardless of the cares of this life.
Amen.
Amen. It is the essence of what we believe. But if you're in here and you've never been saved, never been born again, you listen to Pastor Brian and you respond.
Amen.
And we'll do